So one of the first things we did was to simply remove that 3-meter wall and connect Woolwich back to Royal Arsenal.
That's important to try and continue to weave that historic element of Woolwich into whatever the new Woolwich might look like.
Our aim is to champion the historic environments, and we obviously want to be able to learn from that process and connect communities to that historic environment.
Woolwich is undergoing a major transformation. The government has injected over £17 million of future high street funding into the area. The Royal Borough of Greenwich has established a long-term investment partnership with Barclay Homes to deliver housing, public realm and new cultural attractions to bring people to Woolwich. Historic England is also involved, given the huge significance of the Royal Arsenal site to Britain's social and military history. My name is Bhavna Brooker and I am a Future of London alumni. I recently took the ferry to Woolwich to talk to some of the people involved in delivering this regeneration project. You can hear my walking tour in the first part of this two-part podcast series. After visiting Woolwich and being impressed by the scale and quality of the development, I wanted to find out more about the heritage-led regeneration, so I invited three people who have been leading the project to talk about the lessons learnt. Emma Sweeney is Head of Regeneration at the Royal Borough of Greenwich, Morgan Roberts is a Senior Development Manager at Barclay Homes, and Richard Parrish is Historic Advisor at Historic England. We had a fascinating conversation about a large and complicated project. I want to know if it was working for the established community, as well as the new residents and visitors. How does a commercial developer ensure viability on such a challenging site? And has this historic landmark been preserved and enhanced for future generations? I started off by asking Emma how the local community had responded to the development.
No matter the scale of a project, you're undoubtedly going to get a varied pool of views. And I think that's something that having sort of councils embedded in regeneration, that's primarily their role, is to monitor those local views and try and protect the existing communities, really. And I think as part of that protection role is to also understand those assets that the town has, and whether that's heritage assets or assets that are important in other ways, perhaps important to the community or held dear by the community, then I think that's something that councils are absolutely positioned to be able to do. And I think we see that in sort of protection of the covered market spaces, or you know, some important elements of facades or street treatments. And I think that's important to try and continue to weave that historic element of Woolwich into whatever the new Woolwich might look like.
Morgan, what do you feel working on the other side, and sort of, you know, having new communities coming in and this sense of Woolwich's identity and the two coming together?
Yeah, I think for us, we always start with the history, whether we're designing a building or a master plan or looking to acquire a site. So I think that's quite an important starting point to understand. So Woolwich, the history is just absolutely extraordinary, really. You know, a potted history would be that the Royal Arsenal site, which is an 88-acre site along the River Thames, so a kilometre of river frontage, that was the main employment almost from the 16th century through both World War One and World War Two. It then shut in kind of effectively in the 1960s, and formally the Ministry of Defence closed it in 1994.
Richard, is there anything that you wanted to add from the heritage side, specifically about the local community and perceptions over time?
Yeah, I think that's sort of a very valuable approach, and sort of feeds into a lot of Historic England's thinking about, you know, where we go in the future. I mean, our aim is to champion the historic environments, and we obviously want to be able to learn from that process and connect communities to that historic environment. We do rely heavily on local authorities to perhaps do the consultation and understanding and feed that into their plan making for the future. And Greenwich has been very good in developing sort of master plans to actually help steer the wider area. One of the advantages of the programme we've got at the moment running is the government money has enabled us to do more community engagement. And from that, we're getting a lot more feedback about what people care about and what we need to preserve for the future.
What are some of the things coming out from those surveys and consultations? Is there anything you can share?
Well, I think one of the things that does come out, and I think this is perhaps the point I was alluding to at the beginning of the conversation, is that there are elements of the community that are hard to reach. And once you engage people, you know, they become fascinated with the story of their place. We've opened up a shop that was formerly vacant on the high street as a sort of meeting space where we can run events and sort of, you know, meet the public. But the wider work that Greenwich has been doing with sort of refurbishing the tram shed in Beresford Square and looking for those key buildings in the wider area, perhaps outside the Arsenal, which support the cultural quarter. This is why buildings like the Town Hall are so important. That's why the front room is such an important part of the programme for us. Whilst we will also, yeah, we also aim to support local business and support, underpin the kind of local economy, it is about getting in there early and so that, you know, developers actually have certainty about what's expected.
Morgan, did you want to come in on that?
Where we approach listed buildings, heritage assets from is they need to become the focal point, you know, whether it's the phase or within the master plan. And actually the new buildings, when you walk around the Royal Arsenal, it's actually the new buildings have deference and give great space to the listed buildings. That's just, you know, the starting point of refurbishment. I think the key challenge for us and where we've been successful in Royal Arsenal is balancing refurbishing listed buildings and heritage assets whilst providing new buildings. And one of the approaches we take is to, within a single phase or within a single area within the master plan, is we'll bring forward a listed building with a new build element at the same time. And the new build element kind of de-risks the unforeseen costs in terms of the heritage risks, whether it be, you know, the structure, or to give an example on Royal Arsenal Building 10, the carriage factory. We had an original gantry crane structure that runs the length of the factory, which is about 50 metres in length. That needed to be cut in three pieces, taken away to Essex, refurbished, hand-painted, delivered back on site, you know, a year later, and then put back in. That kind of cost, a risk and programme, as I say, can be balanced with a new build element together.
Emma, I'd like to come to you because Richard mentioned the council aspirations, the local community investment. You've had a lot of local investment, government investment, and kind of is that achieving what you want it to in terms of preserving that heritage, but balancing all those, you know, local things that we want to achieve for the community?
Yes, I think we are probably achieving that balance, although I think the outputs, and probably with all of these schemes, it's much longer term than you might initially expect. And I think all the work and investment that we're seeing in Woolwich at the moment is really a catalyst for continued development. And then, you know, the care that we've taken with our heritage assets and the projects that are really focusing on them at the moment in and around the town centre, I think allows us to then sort of drive housing delivery perhaps in a later phase and on an adjacent site or in a site near Woolwich where that care and investment that we've all talked about, you know, goes some way in attracting that inward investment in later years.
As you develop and as you learn that you need to perhaps make changes in order to make those places work is quite an important process in itself, in maintaining consultation throughout that process. There was quite a lot of work done, I suppose, that came out of the pandemic. I mean, work was being done beforehand due to the kind of crisis in terms of sort of retail on and sort of failing high streets. We published a document called the Heritage and Society 2020 as part of the kind of Heritage Counts, programme, which looked in detail at sort of heritage across the country and how it was valued and the opportunities and how perhaps places need, you know, in terms of how a high street needs to develop, whereas once we might have just looked at kind of supporting retail, we need to perhaps look at other uses. And you've got these amazing buildings, so what's the future for them? You know, what adaptive strategies can you put in place that will actually connect, you know, make those a functioning part of the community and social, and part of a social hub?
That brings us nicely to the next question, which you've sort of picked up, Morgan and others, about working in an environment with such strong heritage and makes Woolwich that unique place with the strong heritage connections. But it also has complexities, as you've alluded to, and constraints. And when considering sort of, Morgan, the commercial ambitions for your projects, for your programs, for your proposals in the arsenal, kind of how, you know, what are some of the problems you've encountered, some of the challenges in preserving that heritage, but actually fundamentally you need to deliver homes and you need to make money from the development, don't you?
The starting point really is to find out as much information as possible from when we first review a listed building. That's obviously going and reviewing the historic listing, and typically, you know, that's where the risk is, because there is very limited information. Typically now, any new modern building, you'll have a 3D model that you can instantly get up and review. And that's where the potential unforeseen risks, particularly on Royal Arsenal, where the buildings weren't maintained. So structurally, there are significant challenges. In a listed building, you're also going to get unusual and unique footprints and layouts. And typically, some of the rooms are going to be far smaller than anything, you know, than any bedroom size or anything that would be habitable or considered habitable today. So that's your initial risks when looking at it. But actually, the opportunities are incredible. So if we take Richard's point in terms of Officer's House, Building 11, it was a listed building that if you couldn't actually walk in the front door because there was scaffolding both internally and externally holding the building up. And so it was, you know, at the at-risk register. And it's really about creativity. So with HMM Architects, we effectively created an atrium on the end of the building. And that atrium has gantryways into the various floors, because obviously typically a listed building is only going to have, you know, one or two staircases. And when you're splitting them into multiple apartments, you need new access on multiple floors. And that glass atrium not only acts to provide access, but also then on the other side of that atrium is the new build development. And so the atrium really is creating a beautiful cohesion between the new and the listed.
Before I bring Emma in, Morgan, I wanted to sort of ask you a bit more about some of those challenges and kind of when you're working on, use an example, you know, where of one of those buildings where you had to build the gantry. Were there any points where actually, you know, it really got quite tough and kind of, I don't know how we're going to take this forward, or it became very risky, or kind of, did you ever have to come to the point where, are we going to have to sacrifice one thing over another here?
Absolutely. We could go back to Building 10, the Royal Carriage Factory. And to Richard's point, the starting point is always working in partnership and early engagement, you know, with Royal Borough of Greenwich and with Historic England. And that will resolve a lot of potential future challenges. So in this case, Building 10, we actually, you know, reviewed the history and part of the building where the new homes are now located was actually a much later extension of very limited historical or architectural merit. And so it was coming to that agreement that actually that's the most prominent, best place if you are going to deliver housing for that to be. But certainly in terms of challenges with the actual buildings themselves and sticking with Building 10, there was the trusses that spanned one of the industrial bays had to be were a real challenge for us, you know, internally. They had to be craned off and then again hand painted and then actually hand put back.
I mean, perhaps a great example is the fact that if you consider that, you know, for most of its life, the arsenal itself sat behind a huge wall. And even if you look at maps prior to the kind of 1990s, there's nothing in that space. because it was a kind of, you know, it was military, it's a military land. So, you know, taking down elements of the wall, improving access in itself to the site, you know, that's a major decision, and that you might argue that that isolation is part of its significance. But obviously, if you want a place to develop and be, you know, become a new destination and a new place to live and connect that to the town centre, you've got to make those connections.
I do think accessibility is one of the biggest and repeating challenges when working with heritage assets, either within the individual buildings or the way that they're positioned in the current sort of townscape.
Emma, in terms of your views, we've asked Morgan kind of, you know, quite challenging questions about some of the decisions that had to be made. Has the Arsenal delivered kind of what the council's aspirations are for Woolwich?
And I think you continue to be flexible on what the aspirations are for the next and current phase. And that's the door ajar almost in that, have we achieved everything we wanted to achieve question. And allows us to still fill the bowl a little bit more, which I think we do. But I mean, I think what's been done today is fantastic, and it's a really great asset for Woolwich that I think sort of stretches the place and becomes an attraction in itself that people will want to come and visit, which is sort of the ultimate aim. The council is always seeking additional funding sources and looking for where we can get support from government or other partners to allow these things to go forward. And I think that perhaps is also iterative. We wouldn't necessarily have all that information at the outset of a project. So not only are we designing flexibly and working within a design framework that may evolve over time, I think the financial premise of any project isn't necessarily fixed at the outset. And that's sometimes a harder sell.
One of the things I wanted to mention is a bit of work we're doing with the GLA is looking at a kind of heritage strategy document for SPG for London with the GLA, which is effectively looking at how we can hear, you know, get people's voices reach the community better, which we all need to do more upfront, so it feeds into the local plan process.
If you were to do this again, offering lessons learned, where would you? What are those key things that you want to share with others?
I think that councils, speaking from sort of our perspective, can be very clear about the decisions that they're asking the cabinets to make at the outset to allow the project to sort of have some freedom, really, and to allow that project to develop you know, use those flexibilities to its advantage.
Morgan, is there any, we talked about some of the specific challenges, didn't we, in balancing the heritage assets and retaining that, but meeting your commercial goals. Is there, in summing up the process, and, you know, you're still working on this after, you know, you've been on the project 10 years, what have been those really tricky things, you know, that you could share with others?
The starting point is always that early partnership and engagement. And that's also with the local community to understand what they want and what their desires are for the spaces. And then it is creativity and not taking a listed building on its face value if it's covered in scaffolding and it's got dry rot. There's actually amazing things that if you work with the right team, you can achieve with listed buildings and heritage assets. But it's also having the patience. We're fortunate in terms of our business model that we know we're going to be on the site for another 10 years, which will total 30 years over the lifetime. And so we're willing to wait for the right use and the right user. And that's absolutely fundamental to ensure that actually these listed buildings have a long-term use.
Do you feel the local community is being reached, or is there more to do in that space? And how do you think we can successfully do that?
I think there is always more to be done in that arena, to be honest. I think you have to be varied. I think you have to keep sort of exploring different routes of trying to reach different people, and whether that's sort of in person or online. I mean, councils will typically not reach younger generations, which I think is actually really important when you look at the duration of some of these projects, and certainly a conversation we've been having when looking at the new local plan for Greenwich. You know, if it's a document that's going to stand, or a project that's going to have a 20 or 30 year lifespan, then how do we capture meaningful responses from, you know, teenagers, that they're the future adults of Woolwich, and how do we ensure that they've had an input in building up at the outset of these schemes?
And Richard, finally, your involvement in the heritage projects in Woolwich, what would you do differently? What are your reflections?
What I think the High Street Heritage Action Zone programme, certainly a lesson learned, and I think I said this before, it's actually the cultural engagement and the community engagement alongside the repair of fabric, which enables people to become aware of, you know, what's happening on the high street, you know, in those sort of spaces where, you know, the social hubs where people gather, before any work is taking place. I mean, we're only starting to, I mean, with the exception of the town hall, sort of getting businesses repaired is only due to start quite shortly. So we've been doing wall painting programs. We've been working with sort of Greenwich funding our hut, to, you know, sort of run events, which to kind of engage with the local community, you know, and I think we've found that incredibly rich and useful way of supporting what in the past we would have been very focused on repairing the fabric of a building, and then, you know, sort of funding that and or sort of advising and then handing it over to a user or the local authority to say, well, there you go, you know, get on with it.
I had a final question, but we did pick it up as we were going through, which is the kind of the next big steps, the future. And I think, Emma, I cut you off before you were going to answer this, weren't you? The council has a really important role to play in this. Mm. So what is the long-term vision? What is the future? What is it that you want Woolwich to be? Yeah.
Really just sort of repeating that Woolwich is a destination, that people have great places to spend their time, and whether that be housing or high streets or leisure. But we've certainly got a huge program coming forward in the next few years, which are already well in their planned stages. And we've got a new leisure centre coming to Woolwich, which will be great for residents of Woolwich as well as wider visitors. There's we refer to it as Woolwich Exchange, but it's again mixed use housing led development, but has got a cinema and public spaces to try and link these sites really together. We are always looking at what we can start planning now to be sort of on the end of that programme and start bringing forward the next site. And you will have noticed walking around Woolwich that there are some vacant sites. Yes, lots to do.
Thanks very much to Emma, Morgan and Richard for taking part in the discussion. And a special thanks to Rob Timmer from the Royal Borough of Greenwich and fellow Future of London alumni who arranged the walking tour and identified the speakers for this podcast. And thank you to those for listening. You can find other podcasts at our website on futureoflondon.org.uk. And you can find out more about the Future of London Alumni Network, including how to get in touch if you're interested in getting involved. Bye for now.